The fat boys are back, and you know, they can never be whack.
That's us.
We are back, baby, back in the saddle again after a several week hiatus because of Dregslands and because of work trips and a general malaise, Nick.
Mostly Dregslands, because it's been real hard to get a list of, like, interesting things that are sort of in our wheelhouse, because I don't want to talk about stuff that's not in our wheelhouse.
This is a wheelhouse-only podcast.
Yeah, because, like, no one wants to talk about... No one wants to hear us talk about things we have zero interest in. So, you know...
I don't want to talk about stuff I have zero interest in, you know?
Yeah, so...
Nobody wants that, Nick. They want Jerry Lewis. They wrote it to us.
Mr. Moon, the nice lady, says we're not supposed to do the voices anymore, but we're going to do them anyway.
Who is this lady that said this?
I don't know, but I'm sure she's out there.
She's out there. You know, Nick, I was going to make a cocktail for this recording, and I didn't do it. I ate Taco Bell instead. Is that an even trade-off?
I think so. Both of them have slightly negative effects on your health in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah. But are enjoyable at the time.
Yeah. Like cigarettes.
Yeah. What did you have from Taco Bell?
So I actually didn't order anything. I just ate the leftovers, like the things that my family didn't eat. So it was like, it was garbage. It was like a quesadilla, like a cheese quesadilla. But I had grilled chicken that I did on the Rectech. That was real good, and I just cut some of that up and ate that with it. So it became, I elevated that. I took that quesadilla to new heights. I don't think a Taco Bell quesadilla knew it could reach that level. You know what I'm saying?
No, it probably wasn't emotionally or spiritually prepared to be elevated to such heights.
In a previous episode, Nick interviewed a quesadilla from Taco Bell, and we established that it did not have the range, the dynamic range, the spiritual range. Did we not?
Yeah, I believe that was episode 117.
Master Chief, Petty Officer.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Master Chief, Petty Officer.
What we done had watched this past week.
Been watching, got a new Halo to watch.
Did you start it?
Yeah, I'm like halfway through season two.
Oh, that's right. You had said last time you'd started watching it.
Yeah, I'm up to date, except for this week's. I'm gonna watch that after this. Not my favorite.
No, I was hoping you were gonna say, well, it turned it up a notch. See, but I guess it didn't.
Here's the thing, and the reason that I'm still watching it is because anytime the Covenant are involved, it is good, like actually good.
Yeah, that's still the case, huh?
Yeah, and they introduced Crunchbite from Red versus Blue. What was his name? The Arbiter from Halo 2. But it's not Arbiter. Keith David doing his voice.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
First of all, Keith David is a ding-dang legend.
Right.
He is one of the best voiceover artists of our time. Why would you not get him? Did he just not want
to
do it?
I don't know. I expected it to be, because, like, this big elite showed up, and Jess and I were like, oh, that's probably Crunchbite, which is the name that they give him in Red versus Blue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's got like, kind of a similar deep voice, but it's not Keith David. But, yeah, so anytime the Covenant are in, it's good. And anytime Master Chief has his armor on, which has been extremely rare this season,
what?
That's good. But, like, everything else, I just look at my phone now. Like, I truly don't care about some of the side characters.
Ugh.
And, like, if Master Chief is, like, doing stuff without his armor, it's not interesting.
Don't care. I don't need that character fleshed out.
I feel like they doubled down on not having him wear armor this season. And that was the main complaint of season one. But they doubled down on it.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
Okay. Well, boo.
Yeah.
Well, what else have you watched?
I watched... I was trying to finish everything on Apple TV that I wanted to see for a while so I could cancel it for a while. So I watched On the Rocks, which is a Sofia Coppola movie with Bill Murray and Ann Perkins from Parks and Rec.
Oh, Ann Perkins.
And that was pretty good. It was a little more funny than she usually does. Like, The Bling Ring is funny. But it was a little more funny. And that was good. And then I've been watching Voyager and Deep Space Nine by Airdate. So I watched the cheese episode that they referenced on Lower Decks.
Neelix cheese!
Yeah, so love that. Voyager and Deep Space Nine give me the most powerful nostalgia of anything in life.
Oh, yeah?
Because I used to watch them in my bedroom at my old house, my first house I lived in, upstairs. And then I had this, like, wood panel tube TV that sounded like a nuclear engine when you turned it on. And so on the weekend, Friday and Saturday, on Channel 24, they would show Voyager at 11 and Deep Space Nine at 12. So, like, I would get excited on the weekend because I would go to bed and, like, get in my blanket fort and watch Star Trek for 2 hours. And it's like, I haven't watched Deep Space Nine since then. And watching it now, I was like Voyager forever will be my favorite because of Seven. And just, like, I have the most nostalgia for Voyager. But watching them now, I think Deep Space Nine is my favorite Star Trek.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, everything about Deep Space Nine I love. It's like, I kind of wish I could, like, live on there and just interact with these people. I love Quark. He's the best. It's just so good. So I might have to get a Chief O'Brien costume just because, like, Colm Meaney looks so Irish and so do I that I could easily do that costume. Because if my hair's longer than it is now, it gets curly, so I'll look like him.
That's interesting because you've consumed a lot of Star Trek over the past year.
Yeah, I'm watching it by air date. Every single thing, every single piece of Star Trek I'm watching. That movies, series, everything. So I watched the original series, the animated series, Next Generation, and now I'm in season 4 of Deep Space Nine. So Worf is there now, finally. And I'm in season 2 of Voyager. So once I get to 4 of Voyager, then we get 7. So then after that, I'll watch Enterprise and then the various new Star Treks. But I'm doing it all so that I get every joke in Lower Decks.
A worthy pursuit.
But then I just realized that I think that Deep Space Nine is like my favorite thing to watch of anything, so...
It's like that comfort show you could have on in the background.
Yeah. And then I started watching Shogun on FX. Very, very good.
I've yet to start. I really want to start.
Once they start to, like, the beginning is, it's all good. But once they start to get into the plan at the end, maybe the end of the second episode, you start to see what the series is going to be about. Then I was like, oh, this is, yes, keep going with this. This is what I want to see. So, pretty cool.
Nice.
And then last night I went and I saw this little movie that you probably never heard of. It's called Dune Part 2. Have you heard of that?
Is this the one about the Kwisatz Haderach?
I don't Kwisatz think so. Haderach? I think this was about a desert mouse.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember anything about a Cor Black, Schnadler Black, or whatever you said. No, the Kwisatz Haderach. Yes, Dune Part 2. Obviously, it's great. I'm always very, very aware of recency bias, so I am not willing to offer a judgment of Part 2 versus Part 1 in any way.
Sure. Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I would like to see it again soon. And I need to watch Part 1 again first. So, but yeah, it's like a direct continuation of Part 1.
Yeah, I mean, it feels probably exactly like the original, the Part 1, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw Dune. It's great.
I can't wait. So Aaron and I have started watching movies. We're going to trade off a movie that she wants to watch and then a movie that I want to watch, like movies that are important to us kind of a deal. Yeah. And so the first one that we're going to watch for me is Dune, and then we're going to both go see part two in the theater. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Hopefully this weekend. Now, we finished What We Do in the Shadows, all the seasons. We also finished Mr. and Mrs. Smith. We burned through that one real quick.
Yeah, I've heard that's real good.
It's really good. It's a very interesting show. Like, the music does this thing where, and just the way the show is made, it feels like a slight sidestep off of reality. It's like it almost could be reality, but it's like this like short sidestep to a parallel universe. And if you watch the show, tell me if you've watched the show and kind of know what I'm talking about. Like, the feeling of it feels adjacent to reality. It's really interesting. I really like the soundtrack of this show. I need to find it. I haven't looked for it on Spotify, but I need to. So, highly recommend it. It's really good. Started watching the newest season of Formula One: Drive to Survive. It's incredible that they're able to find so much drama when one person wins all the races. Anyway, I've been watching that. Aaron and I watched the first episode of Only Murders in the Building. We weren't really feeling it. I may go back to it at some point, but I think we're going to go do this movie thing for a while before we pick up a new show, which is probably going to be The Bear in June for sure. And I don't know. She may be interested in Fallout. I don't know. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, that's what we had watched these past couple weeks. And that brings us to the new news.
This is the Dumb Dudes News Network.
We have one piece of news here. Speaking of The Bear, Joanna Callo is going to polish the Thunderbolt script for Marvel. Although I believe they just started shooting that, so she must be done already.
So this is old news. Now, riddle me this, Batman. Did they change casting for some characters in this?
Yeah, well, okay. So the director of the movie is the director of The Bear. It's all people from The Bear. Or it might not be The Bear. Beef, yeah.
Oh, Beef,
and Steven Yeun was going to be Sentry. And he had to drop out because of all the delays that happened. He had to drop out because of scheduling, and Lewis Pullman is now playing Sentry.
Okay. He's in a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, I just saw him in Lessons in Chemistry. He was really good.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least we got a good actor in there.
Yep. And then pretty much everyone working on this is good, like on Thunderbolts. I heard a couple things that I thought sounded weird, but I never believed these rumors. Like, something was like, I saw a rumor that it has nothing to do with General Ross, and I was like, but that's the whole point. So we'll see. We'll see if that was true. But yeah, that comes out next year, I believe.
Okay. Is that is the only Marvel movie we're getting this year Deadpool Wolverine?
Yeah, that's correct. Just Deadpool.
Okay.
Yeah. We get X-Men 97 this month, though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, Nick and I had discussed this about doing potentially the Patreon spoiler cast episode each time one of those X-Men 97 episodes comes out.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about with that. So it would make sense. I got to do two Patreons this month because I tried so hard to go and see Madam Web to talk about it.
You really did. I can confirm that you really did.
I tried, but the showtimes, because it did so poorly, the showtimes were very sparse. And the only theater that I go to is a half an hour from my house. And I couldn't even go to the theater I used to hate because they closed that one. And that was the one that was like 10 minutes away. Or not even 10 minutes. But it's closed now, so the only option I have is the half an hour away theater. And the latest showing for Madam Web was 6:30, and it's like, okay, I get done with work. I have to do stuff with the dog after work because he needs exercise, and then I have to eat dinner. And by the time I would even like, even if I skipped dinner to eat later, I was still getting done with other stuff at like 6, and and it takes a half an hour to get to the theater, and so I'm there when it starts. So I just couldn't make it happen. So I'll have to do two. I mean, we could do a Dune episode once you see Dune. And then I gotta think of something else too for March, because gotta do two this month. But yeah, Dune was great, and unfortunately I haven't seen Madam Web.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss. I still hold to that I want to see it with people in like a home setting.
Yeah.
So we can adequately laugh at it.
Yes. Sean on Sitcom D&D, they did a Patreon episode about bad movies, and he said it was fun bad, which is what I wanted.
Okay. That's, yeah. Okay, I have a, you know what, actually? I have a questions times. I just came up with it, Nick.
Go for it.
The questions times.
I'm ready and waiting.
You ready for the questions times? What is a Marvel character or group that you would like to see a bad, funny movie
like a bad, made like of? Bad and like not good?
Like Madam Web. Like that. Like it's so bad it's funny.
Razorback. Razorback for sure. He is an Arkansas supervillain kind of superhero. Like he's kind of a gray moral code character, but he's like a cosmic space trucker. And he wears like a literal razorback costume, like a pig head. And like, he's ridiculous. But yeah, I think they could make a really dumb razorback movie that would be like that. I gotta show you a picture of him.
I feel like I need to look at my Marvel encyclopedia.
His name is Buford Hollis.
Buford Hollis.
All right, sending this to you on Messenger.
Wow, yeah. That's a good call. Well, maybe we'll put this on the Instagram.
Yeah, feed. I definitely will.
This is absurd, this thing here. There's a supervillain called Dr. Bong.
Oh yeah, yep.
That would be kind of funny because it's just, that's just really stupid.
He's in some Deadpools that we have.
Oh yeah. 3D Man.
Big Wheel.
Not all the guys. Not all the Marvel characters are winners.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I don't know if I have a great answer for this, but I do think the idea of a Dr. Bong movie might be stupid enough.
Dr. Bong and Razorback.
Dr. Bong, The Adventures of Dr. Bong and Razorback. Write into us, folks, about what a dumb movie you'd like to see a Marvel character made out of.
We'll even accept any kind of dumb, as long as it's like a dumb movie, like Madam Web, kind of cheesy, bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to only be Marvel, because that's going to be too limiting.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And bonus points if you already have the director, like the guy that, hi, Mark.
Tommy Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau, yeah. Oh, maybe that would be a good question. Like, what Marvel movie would you want Tommy Wiseau to direct? Write and direct.
Big Wheel, for sure.
Yeah, Big Wheel.
Stiltman.
Oh, Stiltman. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Stiltman. Don't forget about Stiltman. All right, folks. We need to talk about these here. New. Trailers, folks. We have an Adele 8.
And that's after a couple weeks. Like, this is the best that I could cultivate.
Yeah, this is really is. So after 3 weeks or whatever it's been, this is it. Okay, let's talk about this first one here. Borderlands. We finally got a trailer for Borderlands.
Yep. The plot is the popular video game set on the abandoned fictional planet of Pandora, where people search for a mysterious relic. Sort of a hodgepodge of Borderlands video game plots, probably, in the movie. We got Kate Blanchett looking excellent.
Oh, yeah.
As Lilith. We got Ariana Greenblatt as Tiny Tina. She is in everything. She is young Ahsoka. She was young Gamora. Mm-hmm. She was the girl in the Barbie movie. So yep. She's in this. We got Gina Gershon as Moxie. We have Kevin Hart as Roland, and I guarantee that Kevin was complaining about how he wears his beret when he saw this, because he's like, Kevin's like weirdly obsessed with how people wear berets. And now he's probably laughing to himself as he hears this. We got Jack Black as Claptrap, which is hard to say. And I think that this looks pretty good.
I do too. There's a lot of vitriol from fanboys whining about it on the internet.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise. Yeah, the video game players are just a delight on the internet.
Oh yes.
But Claptrap doesn't have the same voice. I'm okay with that. You know, it's fine. I mean, I do wish more voice actors got work. So that would, yeah, it would have been ideal, but they didn't do that. And it, you know what? At the end of the day, it's going to be fine. I think this looks good. It looks like Borderlands. It looks like
what it looks like.
Also, the people that complain about Tiny Tina, like, Tiny Tina was kind of annoying. And I know that, like, they're like, well, she's supposed to be. No, but it was like, you want her to be an endearing kind of annoying. And I don't know, the one in the game was, it was a little cringy for me. So I actually maybe like the Greenblatt shift of that character.
I have never played any Borderlands games apart from like a couple minutes here and there. So I don't have really any attachment to this series other than that Jess likes it. And so I hope it's good for her sake. I will say, in terms of from a filmmaking structure standpoint, I'm a little cautious because it took so long for this trailer to come out after they finished filming this 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
That's weird. And so I wonder why that is. But I am cautiously optimistic based on the trailer, which I think is good.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of another movie that had the same thing where it's like they took a long time making it or a long time coming out with a trailer, a lot of work in post or rewrites where it turned out just fine.
Rogue One.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, that turned out just fine.
Exactly. So it's not always guaranteed, but the problem is that if something takes longer, if there's reshoots or stuff like that, that's all the reviews are about. So if they don't do the pre-production flawlessly, they completely lose control of the reviewscape, because film criticism is not a real profession. It's just a bunch of echo chamber fools that base their things on outside factors.
As you are famous for saying.
Yeah, I hate film critics. But one of the things is, if pre-production does not go perfectly, that is all the reviews will be about. And I'm kind of wondering if that'll happen here.
You know, I, as a journalism major, one of the first things you learn in college is negative news sells. And that is no difference when it comes to entertainment news, is it not?
Yeah, that's it. But that's why I put no stock into them.
Yeah. So I'm pretty optimistic about this. I'm looking forward to see it in the theater. I'll put it to you that way.
Yeah, I think we will see it because Jess loves Borderlands.
Yeah, Jess loves it, right?
Her two top things are trailers this week. Her two games that she likes.
Next up, we have a Red Band trailer for The Gentlemen, the TV show on Netflix. Is it Netflix?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eddie Horniman inherits a family estate, initially unaware it's home to a drug empire run by a syndicate that has no plans to vacate. So basically he has drug dealer squatters, or like a drug syndicate squatting in his inherited estate here. It's a Guy Ritchie show. I can't think of a Guy Ritchie thing that I dislike. They're all pretty good, so I'm sure that this is good. The trailer is good. I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah. I got to see that movie. I will say one note about this trailer. You see a lot of this old man's naked body, like way too much of this old man's naked body.
Yeah. I didn't want to see the camera drop anymore.
No, if the camera would have dropped anymore, you would have seen the full display.
Yeah. Wasn't into that.
No.
Also, I saw a thing, speaking of Guy Ritchie movies, I saw a thing with Vinnie Jones, who's like in all of his movies, was like, oh, I'd love to do Snatch 2 if Guy wanted to make Snatch 2. And I'm like, but Vinny, you died in the first one. But yeah, The Gentleman, probably good. Looks good.
Probably good. I'll probably watch it.
Yeah.
Next up we have Boy Kills World.
The plot of this is a dystopian fever dream action film that follows Boy, a deaf person with a vibrant imagination. When his family is murdered, he is trained by a mysterious shaman to repress his childish imagination and become an instrument of death. When I clicked on this trailer, I did not expect to enjoy it at all. And then by the end, I was like, I actually kind of want to watch this.
This, if you haven't seen this trailer, the vibes are very John Wick meets Hardcore Henry meets Running Man.
I would also like to throw in Guns Akimbo to that mix.
I haven't seen that, but yeah, that feels right.
That was very good. That was surprisingly good.
Oh yeah, is it a little unhinged? Is that
yes, definitely. Kind of the vibe?
Okay, yeah.
Samara Weaving steals the movie. Like Daniel Radcliffe is actually great in that movie, because it's like the kind of weirdo character he should be playing. But Samara Weaving, the weird character that she plays, she is so strange that it just made the whole movie for me. Also, Natasha Liu Bordizzo is in that movie, who played Sabine in Ahsoka, and she has purple hair in that too.
Samara Weaving has to be Australian.
Yeah, she's Hugo Weaving's niece.
Okay. Because she looks Australian. Yes. They all look the same.
Yeah, they all look like Nicole Kidman.
Yes, yeah. They do. Gosh, this is so wild.
But yeah, this movie looks fun. His voice, because he doesn't speak and he doesn't hear, so he gave himself an internal voice, and it's H. John Benjamin's voice. So, you know, he talks. I can't do a H. John Benjamin voice. And Famke Janssen's in it, and Bill Skarsgård is the main character, and we got
Charlton Copley's in it.
Charlton Copley. It just looks fun. It looks like Running Man's one of my favorite movies of all time. So once I saw that you mentioned that, I was like, oh, I actually love that.
Yeah. There's something about that dystopian future game show where people, you know, like Smash TV and Running Man and what are other ones? Is there any others? Like, it's, you know, also kind of like Squid Game is it's not televised, but it's like that. And, you know, Battle Royale, that kind of a thing where it's gamified.
Yeah.
So this looks fun. A lot of probably some good stunts in here, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. Guns Akimbo was like that too with the gamified thing.
Okay. So we will see. I probably won't see this in the theater, but when it comes out on Max, man, I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it. Like, I do want to watch it. I like this kind of goofy action movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Makes me want to buy Running Man on 4K.
Oh, you know, that's a good call. That's a good call. It's worth it for the one-liners.
It's just such a good movie. It's the best Schwarzenegger movie.
You know, that was one of the first rated R movies I ever saw.
Running Man?
Yeah.
Excellent. That's a good one.
Yeah. Do you remember your first rated R movie?
No, I do not.
I don't. I
have no idea.
I remember my dad let me watch Predator if I had headphones on. So I can't remember how young I was, but I remember that. And I remember Running Man and RoboCop. Those are probably the three first ones.
It was probably Predator, because I saw that pretty young. Yeah. I know I saw Starship Troopers too young.
Oh, really?
And I probably shouldn't have. But yeah, I don't know.
I was in high school when I saw Starship Troopers.
Yeah, well, you're way older than me, like 100 years old.
This old man, next up, we have Horizon, an American saga, directed by, or it's, no, and it's
starring.
Not direct. Oh, is it, did he direct it?
Yes.
It's because it comes up as a Kevin Costner studio or a Kevin Costner film.
He wrote it, he directed it, he's acting in it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It chronicles a multifaceted 15-year span of pre- and post-Civil War expansion and settlement of the American West, which on paper looks interesting, but I'm sure that Kevin Costner will find a way to make it dull beyond enjoyment. I'm not a Kevin Costner fan. I don't know if I like anything Kevin Costner has done. Let me look.
You didn't like Waterworld?
No.
Oh, man, I liked Waterworld.
I don't have anything against it, but I don't like it.
You know, you are like a turd that won't flush.
I'm looking through these movies here, all these Kevin Costner movies.
Dances with Wolves, no.
Don't like Dances with Wolves. Wyatt Earp sucked compared to Tombstone.
Yeah, Tombstone is unbeatable, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's Kurt Russell, who's 1,000 times cooler than Kevin Costner.
You gonna do something, or are you just gonna stand there and bleed? God, that movie's so cool, dude.
God, it's so good. I have a I'm Your Huckleberry t-shirt from Tombstone.
So good.
The Postman's okay.
But that was real slow.
Yeah, you know? it's so dull. It's all dull.
Yeah, all of his stuff's real slow. I bet this show is real long and real slow.
Yeah, I don't like any of these Kevin Costner movies.
So I'm going to miss this. This does not look like a Western that I want to see. I also really hate the American story of what we did to the Native Americans, and I just don't need to see that played out. I know the history, guys. I know it, and it's really bad. It's really a stain on this nation, and I just don't need to see it in film form, you know?
Yeah, Kevin Costner wants you to, though.
Mm-mm.
Of course, I don't know. I feel like Kevin Costner secretly would be like, but yeah, manifest destiny. I just don't like him or trust him.
Aaron would probably argue with you on that one.
Well, I don't want to incur the wrath of Aaron.
Sure. So we'll move on to this next one, which is The Watchers. And this is M. Night Shyamalan's daughter, right?
Yeah, that's right. Her name is Ashana Shyamalan. The plot is a young artist gets stranded in an extensive, immaculate forest in Western Ireland, where after finding shelter, she becomes trapped alongside three strangers stalked by mysterious creatures each night. This is an excellent trailer.
Yeah.
However, Shyamalan gave me pause because we've discussed this before. He's the most good in the room guy that there is. Like, his pitches, I think, are the best. Like, he's the best pitch man.
Uh-huh.
He did not write this. He did not direct it. So maybe his daughter has what he's lacking.
What do you think that is?
Follow through. I think Shyamalan's a really, really good cinematographer. I think he's a really, really good art director. I think he doesn't have the follow through. Like, I think he's a lot like J.J. Abrams, where it's like you come up with this really cool mystery box, but you don't know what to do with it.
That's interesting. You know, actually, I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, because when I think about Lady in the Water, it's one of the least interesting movies that he's made, but it looks really good.
Yes.
So when I think about that movie, I'm thinking about the way that scenes look. I'm not thinking about the movie.
Yeah. He makes strikingly beautiful scenes. He's really good with colors in movies.
Yeah.
And he's really good behind the camera. It's just his writing is it just never, it never hits the mark. Like, it always is close. It's like, I see where he's coming from, but he can't write the end. It's very Stephen King-y in that way too.
Interesting.
Stephen King always says that he can't write endings of himself.
Huh. Endings are tough, man. It's hard to get them right.
Yep. But this movie, The Watchers, looks cool. It looks like it's kind of creepy Celtic stuff with Dakota Fanning, and I don't know, it just looks good. I just think it looks really good, and I want to watch it.
Yeah, you know, here's what I'll say about this, where the triumph of this trailer comes in, whether it's the movie itself or the way it's cut or both. Me, not a fan of horror movies, is going, maybe I want to see this. Like, this is intriguing. Like, I want to know what's happening here. I want to know what's going on here. And, I mean, if it's got, like, a good soundtrack that's not just a typical horror violins, you know, soundtrack, then, you know, I think I'm going to see this. I think I'm into this.
Yeah, I agree. I do want to see this. I want to give Ashana Shyamalan her due and see I want to see if she's got the follow through.
Yeah. That'll be an interesting story, and I'd like to see that as well. Yep. So we'll give you a shot, Shyamalan.
Yeah.
We'll give you a little shot. Okay, now we're getting to the meat, baby. Let's talk about this meat.
This is, I think, this and Deadpool and Wolverine, I think, are going to be the two best things of the year for me.
And X-Men 97?
Yeah, we got Fallout here.
Fallout. Guys, this new trailer for Fallout, it has the look. It has the feel. It has the tone. I think this might be a perfect trailer.
I agree.
It's so good. The trailer itself is cut so well with the music. It's like, and we're going to contrast the cut and the music of this trailer with the music that was in American Saga, that trailer. The music was so weird in that trailer that when I got the Fallout, I was like, God, this is a masterpiece, you know?
Yeah, this is really one of the best trailers. The look, the aesthetic of this is absolutely 100% perfect.
It's so perfect. They have translated that video game into the real world perfectly.
Yeah. They didn't make any, like, sometimes people make movies or TVs, they change things for no reason.
Yeah.
Everything's exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. You know, when I really realized it, Nick, there's that one shot with them, the people coming out of the door and the girl has the laser pistol.
Yep.
And I go, that is, they game ripped that file out of the game and 3D printed it. And that's what she, I mean, it's like from the game.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And,
the Rad Roaches, the Brotherhood of Steel.
The Brotherhood of Steel.
Everything. Just like, it's just unbelievable. The stim packs and the, and the thing in the, yeah, in the convenience store.
Yeah.
The bobblehead.
Now, when that, have you seen a like video on the internet or somebody at a con that has the Brotherhood of Steel armor, you know, the big armor, and they kind of shuffle around in it. In this show, they move around in that stuff. Like, there, it's like a stunt thing. I mean, it looks real.
Yeah, because it's supposed to move around like that because of the pistons and stuff.
Right, right, yeah.
So, yeah. There's that guy at Dragon Con that has the one that can close around him.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he can step into it and it closes. That's cool.
Yeah.
But, like, aesthetically, this is perfect. The cast is good. Like, Kyle MacLachlan's in it. Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
Michael Emerson. Michael Emerson is always good, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Parnell's in it.
We got dialogue in this trailer, and it's good and funny and just like, it seems well done.
Yes.
The script writing seems well done, and the acting seems good.
It's the most I want to watch something like right now.
Exactly. 100%, dude. Hundo P. So we cannot wait for Fallout, and I resubscribed to Amazon Prime. I quit my subscription. I had to resubscribe for Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but I'll keep it obviously for Fallout.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Like, they got me with their TV. They didn't get me with their shopping. They got me with their TV.
Yeah. I mean, I buy a lot of stuff on Amazon, so I just have it all the time.
Hmm.
That's where I get all my comics.
Okay. Okay. I just get sort of tired of the cheap Chinese crap that they peddle.
Well, I just don't buy that. I buy comic books.
Yeah, that's smart. Okay, now this next thing I'm actually still excited about. We have the final trailer for the three. It's actually just called Three Body Problem, I think.
Yeah, yeah. We've talked about this two other times.
Yeah.
Fateful decision made in 1960s China reverberates in the present, where a group of scientists partner with a detective to confront an existential planetary threat. I talked about how this is based on the Dark Forest theory. So we've done all of that before. I still really want to watch this. I think it looks good. I'll actually reactivate my Netflix for this.
Yeah.
The one thing I did, I added this trailer again, is because Jess saw an article. And Jess has read all of the books.
Yeah, me too.
And she said the article was talking about how it was a time travel show. And she's like, there's no time travel in.
There is.
Oh, she says there isn't.
Well, only into the future.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll see.
There's no time travel into the past. You can only go into the future.
Okay. Well, she said there was no time travel. So, but you are confirming that there is.
In books 2 and 3, there is.
Okay.
But yeah, this season will not have any time travel. It shouldn't.
Well, I wonder if they just read the book and wrote the article based on that, because they probably haven't seen the show yet.
Yeah. No, there's all a right. There's a character that basically this book series gets really wild, and there's a person who time travels into the future like millions of years. Well, that's not really a spoiler, but it's just
no, that's I what don't happened. Think so. Benedict Wong is in it, so it's at least got that. There's a lot of Game of Thrones people in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's made by them Game of Thrones guys.
Them Game of Thrones guys. But it's still a pretty cryptic trailer. I mean, this is probably the best trailers. This is probably the best of the trailers that they've shown for this show. Still pretty cryptic, though.
Yeah, I still have no idea what it's about as someone who has not read them. But I know what the Dark Forest theory is intimately, so
yeah.
I'm sure I can follow along.
Yeah. Faux show. All right, the final trailer, the Adele 8th trailer we have, is called A Gentleman in Moscow.
This stars Ewan McGregor and his wife, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. A Russian aristocrat is spared from death and placed on house arrest while the Bolshevik Revolution plays out before him. Ewan McGregor has a really big, fun mustache in this. He kind of looks like Nikola Tesla.
A little bit.
He's stuck in this hotel, and then stuff's going on all around him.
Yep. This reminded me of that movie with Tom Hanks in the airport, where he's stuck in the airport.
The Terminal.
I could not remember the name of it. That's it. So it reminded me of that, but it's a dude in a hotel in old-timey Russia. And typical of, I guess this is Hollywood, I don't know, but typical of a Russian story, they do English accents.
Yeah, that's true. Like Enemy at the Gates, which I still think is the best World War II movie, but yeah, they all have British accents in that.
Yeah, yeah. So
except for Ron Perlman, who had a proper Russian accent.
Ah, Ron Perlman. Oh, Ron Perlman shows up in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, a fun episode.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. So I'll probably miss this one, although I do love Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, and Mary Elizabeth.
And Mary Elizabeth Winstead too. Yeah,
I think this looks good. It's just movies like this, I usually end up enjoying stuff like this, but I never want to start it.
I know that problem feeling. For me. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Maybe you'll check it out and give us a little review.
Yeah, if it pops up on my desk, I'll check it out sometime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that does it for the new trailers, and that brings us to the patron selects.
The Patron Selects. Yeah. So Kevin sent us a trailer, and it was made by Corridor Digital. And they made Wolverine, but it's Danny DeVito. And so they just spliced in, mostly Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Danny DeVito, into a bunch of clips from X-Men movies. And then they actually made like a CG Danny DeVito in a Wolverine suit at the end for a couple scenes. And it is hilarious. It is ridiculous. I'm sure that it started by a conversation. Like, Kevin said this to me. He's like, I'm sure it started with a conversation about how Wolverine is supposed to be shorter than he is depicted in the movies, and then spiraled into Danny DeVito shortness.
This is genuinely funny.
Yeah. It's not as good as the Steven Seagal video they made where they stuck Steven Seagal into stuff. But just like the beginning with Frank from the wrestling episode of Always Sunny in the cage match in X-Men 1, which is one of the best scenes in any superhero movie. It's just very good.
I'm sitting there watching it on silent. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Man, I forgot how good Famke Janssen looks in that first X-Men movie. Good grief.
Oh yeah. And then they made Dennis the Apocalypse at the end.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good stuff. Thanks for sending that in, Kevin. That was great.
Yeah. So, you gotta love Danny DeVito. Gotta love Corridor. So, thank you, Kevin. We don't have any trailer mailers because we didn't ask a questions times last time. But if you want to contact us, you can follow us on Instagram at Trailer Blazers Podcast, or you can email us at trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. If you really want to support us, you can follow us on Patreon, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/trailerblazers or trailerblazerspodcast.com. If you want to call in and leave us a voicemail, you can do so at hititifa8 or 448-488-4328. That's hititifa8. So imagine you are in Final Fantasy and you tell Tifa to hit it 8 times. And if you want, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, which is still a good way for the show to gain traction. And if you do that quick, Mickey's going to let you know what happens.
Yeah, baby, it's been a while, but I will tell you what happens. If I start riding on there, we're going to get some traction, buddy. And when you're driving on the road out there, you got to have traction. Don't turn off that traction control unless you're a race car driver. And I imagine if you're listening to this podcast, not a single one of you's out there as a race car driver. So leave that traction control on, Billy, so you can be in control on the road. And also remember, if you're going to be switching lanes or making a turn or something like that, look over your shoulder, because there might be motorcyclists, and you always need to look twice for the safety of all motorcycle riders out there. That is a setup.
Thank you, Quick Mickey. Effervescent, reticulated, resplendent, as always. For the Trailer Blazers, my name is Nick Kelly, and I don't want to set the world on fire. Happy Trailsers.
And I'm Ben Moon, and I just want to start a flame down in your heart.
I was hoping you'd say that.
I don't want to set the world on fire, honey. I love you too much.
Oh, before we go, so I know we're not going to do the video game session. We don't have enough to talk about. Yeah, guys, I have gotten into. I've caught the bug. I caught it early of Helldivers 2. It is a phenomenon. If you are in any of the nerd space on the internet, or I don't know, maybe I just get a ton of Helldivers content like served to me and news and stuff. Do you see a lot of it on the internet?
I see some of it, but it's not something I'm interested in, so I don't register all of it.
Okay. So this Helldivers 2 game, it's a third-person, four-player co-op, person versus environment, or PvE, game. And it's really hard because you're just getting swarmed by enemies, and you just have to use all your tools at your disposal and your teamwork to survive and do objectives. It is so fun. It is... I'm addicted to it. Like, all I want to do is play it. And so, anyway, I highly recommend it if you got a PS5 or a PC that can run it. And if you want, you can message me. I'll give you my friend code if you're on PC. We can play together. Anyway, highly recommend it. It's $40. It's the best $40 I've spent on a video game in a long time. And, yeah. I'm going to do a Helldivers costume for Dragon Con. Like, that's how into it I am. I'm literally printing out part of the helmet as we speak. I can hear it behind me.
I don't play it, so I have nothing to add.
He's got nothing. Guys, he's got nothing.
But I'm glad that people are having fun.
And with that, we're going to bid you all adieu.
Adieu. Adieu. We'll see you on Patreon.
See you on Patreon. Bye.
Bye. I don't remember anything about a
Armageddon
Schneider Black or whatever you said.